Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
He's a very good player, playing with Patrick Mahomes for a while, and their chemistry is undeniable. So just making sure that we can affect that chemistry, you know what I'm saying, with either the rush or how we're playing Kelce, just making sure that we can disrupt that.
That is Bills cornerback Teron Johnson giving his thoughts on the chemistry between Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And on that point, through 9 games this year, Mahomes has targeted Kelce 76 times. He's had 60 catches, 499 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That has definitely turned up from compared to last year at this point, where we were all kind of wondering, was Kelce inching towards retirement? But for more on this matchup, because we did have our first injury report yesterday, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
So on that injury report, Spencer Brown, I don't want to say he was maybe the biggest surprise for me, but you know, Coleman, we already knew, was not practicing. Kincaid with the knee, kind of assumed he wouldn't. And then with Brown, he had an ankle injury. But you did speak with Spencer Brown after practice, correct?
I did. He said the first 2 days after Sunday, sore, swollen. He said that's going to be expected when you roll your ankle like that. So apparently he rolled it pretty good. He did come out of the game Ryan Vandermark played 9 plays, so it probably counts like the very end of the game, and they probably set him. So he missed a little while, you know, but he said it's getting better every week, and he said hopefully he'll roll out of bed and be able to go on Sunday. So, like, to me, that's encouraging. You know, he's trying to do what he can to be on the field, and the fact that he was, you know, he didn't practice yesterday, but he was in the field house walking around talking with reporters, you know, doesn't mean that he's going to play necessarily, but I think that's an encouraging sign, at least the way he spoke about it.
Another encouraging sign, just because the video has been going around social media a lot, Amari Cooper catching passes from the jug machine, which seems to be an elevation from last week where it was just assistant coaches kind of lobbing him passes. And also, yep, it seemed like he didn't have like that massive cast that was on his hand, that just, it looked like he was wearing like 4 gloves. That was concerning. And then him being limited was always kind of jarring.
Yeah, for sure. You know, again, today will be obviously a day where we'll take a bit more of a look at it. We'll see him at least at practice. We'll see if he's catching passes from Josh Allen. I think that's the big one for me. You know, he didn't really catch any passes from Josh Allen, but you're right. You know, the video that's been tweeted out, I know John Scott, our buddy from WGRZ TV, has a nice video. He kind of shot close up on the hand, and people can go look at that on John's Twitter. And he has a he's carrying his helmet. And he's got a glove. He's got the wrap under the glove, but he was catching passes from the jugs machine, which obviously is an encouraging sign. So we'll see. And then obviously there's Dalton Kincaid, and you know, we don't know what his situation is other than the fact that he didn't practice yesterday. We know he's dealing with a knee injury. He appeared to me, he banged it on the play where Josh missed him down the right sideline, mm-hmm, the far sideline, mm-hmm, during the game. And I guess it'd be the near sideline on television, but he banged it pretty hard. So from that aspect, you hope that it's nothing too serious, but obviously you get to Wednesday, you know, he didn't finish the game, he doesn't practice, and then, you know, you have a bye week next week that could play into what the ultimate decision might be as far as he is concerned. But obviously today will tell us a lot more.
So with Amari Cooper, we've seen him, I mean, granted, it was a different kind of role, but we've seen him in a limited role before this season with the Bills. It was his first week against Tennessee. If he has to play in a game in a limited role again, how do you think that affects the offense this time around with Keon Coleman already being out?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, you'd rather have Cooper and Coleman together. If you don't have either of them, you know, then the offense is much less threatening, right? They don't have somebody on the outside that really can draw some attention. You know, I don't think that the Chiefs are going to necessarily have to focus a ton of attention on Amari Cooper, but because they're a pretty good defense anyway. You know, they play straight up. They'll play a man-to-man. They'll mix in zone. They'll do both. But obviously having Amari Cooper out there in a key situation, if it's a third down and five, and, you know, you're going to want to be aware of where he is, and that could open up something for, you know, Khalil Shakir underneath, or whether it's Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, depending on, you know, who's playing tight end. So I do think it matters in that regard. No Amari Cooper, what are you looking at on the outside? No, because there's already no Keon Coleman. You know, that's Mac Hollins, and, you know, he had a nice game last week, but that's not a guy that I think defenses are going to be threatened by, you know, on the outside to run past them necessarily. Not that Amari is, but Amari's such a great route runner, and he's a, you know, a guy that can really, he understands, you know, where to be, when to be there. He's done this before. So for sure. And I wonder too, guys, like, if it's okay, he can play, but is it more situationally, or does he get a full complement? You know, that would be determining too, because how it impacts the offense might be just simply how it impacts on certain plays down in distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, I do have a few questions on the Chiefs specifically. We've been focusing a lot on the Bills this week, and obviously, of course, for the Chiefs, though, they're 9-0. For me, though, maybe the most impressive thing, I hadn't realized it until this week, and I know you tweeted it out earlier this week as well, just how good they are on third down. They lead the way in the NFL in terms of third down efficiency percentage. 52%. The Bills are in 14th at 39.7 for as many issues as their offense have had. They apparently lose all of that on third down.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the last few years. Last year, no team in the NFL finished the year over 50%. The year before that, the Bills were the only team. They were just over 50% in 2022. 2021, Kansas City at 52. It's rare, and it's really good, to be over 50%. So in 2021, the Chiefs were there at 52.20. Here we are in 2024, and I think they're almost at the exact same rate. Let me look. 52 exactly this year. Tampa, actually, this year is at 50% even, so that's pretty remarkable as well. But you're right. And what's interesting to me is, guys, it's really, like, that's... I don't want to frame this the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but they're not great on first and second down.
Yeah.
Because they're only averaging, like, they're 19th in the league in yards per play. 19th. And they're putting themselves, though, they're converting third downs at such a high rate that it's allowing them, they actually lead the NFL in plays per drive. Every time the Chiefs have the ball, they average 7 plays in that drive. Now, I think to a lot of people that might not sound like a lot. That's actually the highest in the league, average-wise. Most teams don't go 7 plays every drive. They're averaging 7 plays a drive. They're leading the league, and I think it's about 340 of time possession every single drive. You know why? Because they're converting third downs. When you get them into a third down, you better get them off the field. Like, because if you can, you're going to get them in third down. Like, they're going to have third downs, but you got to get them off the field, because that's how they... It's really a death by a thousand cuts, which is wild to say for a Patrick Mahomes team, right? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're beating you like that. They're getting you in 2nd and 6, 3rd and 2, bam, first down. He converts it with his legs. You think if you have him on 3rd and 6, bam, there goes Patrick Mahomes getting out the back gate. So that's kind of a big, big reason why they're winning these games. And I just wonder what the Bills' plan is for them on third down. Do they, especially if down a distance, it's 3rd and 2, it's obviously different than 3rd and 4 or 5, but I wonder if we see more big nickel in this game. Like, do the Bills say, okay, like, on third downs, we're not going to let you, you know, run for a first down, but we're going to make sure we have a DB. I just wonder if the game plan changes. They don't really have a true big nickel on the roster. They do have one on the practice squad, though, and his name is Lewis Cine. I'm not predicting or saying he would play, but I wonder if that's something game plan-wise they would think about doing to change it up if they have somebody in that role that they feel comfortable with.
That could be fun to see if he's active on game day and kind of give you maybe an idea of what they want to do. I think this maybe could be a massive game for Rousseau and Von Miller dealing with a team that doesn't necessarily have great tackles. I mean, Juwan Taylor is kind of like the poster child of how is he not getting a flag every single play. That it might have to be a game where those two take over. And Von Miller, I mean, being that game wrecker that he was sort of paid to be of get them off the field on third down. Because and Sal, you mentioned it too, like they're going to get in third down. They're not even running the ball all that particularly well. Kareem Hunt's averaging under 4 yards per carry. It's just they are so good situationally of just it's 3rd and 5, They're going to get six. It's just insanity to watch them.
Yeah, the left tackle is Wanya Morris. By the way, same name as Boys to Men. There's a guy in Boys to Men named Wanya Morris. I don't know if you guys know that. He was actually basically named because of his mom was a Boys to Men fan.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys know that. Interesting story, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And anyway, he's not related, but that's the story there. And Juwan Taylor, as you said, is their right tackle. So here's two guys who have been kind of under fire in Kansas City a lot for them not being, you know, they're kind of the weakest part of their team and their line. And even last week, apparently, you know, from what I talked to Kansas City people about, like, it got a little hectic with, you know, Patrick Mahomes being under some duress because of Morris at left tackle. Well, that's where Greg Rousseau comes from. That was a home game too for them. This is an away game where the crowd is going to matter and getting off the snap count is going to matter. So yes, these little margins, these little advantages have to be where the Bills take advantage of the Chiefs. And yes, that is also Von Miller. Someone asked me yesterday, do you think Von Miller could play that side? He normally only rushes now from the Bills' left end spot, but he's done it from both sides. Could you see him on the right end spot? Sure. I think anything's on the table. He's Von Miller, right? If that's what they feel that they could take advantage of, but Greg Rousseau can do both. We've seen that as well. Greg comes off the right side. He comes off the left side. Remember the very first play against the Seahawks, he batted the ball down. That was coming off the left defensive end spot. So they'll move guys around. And I think in this game, you have to pick and choose your matchups. Now, that said, they're very, very good in their interior. They have from center to guard. They can really be physical with you. And they have done that against the Bills. And I expect them to try to have that game plan against the Bills. The Bills have to be stout interior on the defensive interior in this game to not allow the Chiefs to control the run game like that.
Sal, going back to the third down stuff and kind of continuing on with the offensive line here too, it sounds kind of crazy to say, but is it fully sustainable? Because this Chiefs team has been winning games by such close margins, and Mahomes has been getting closer and closer to getting, you know, pressured and sacked and stuff like that. If there is a team to do it, I feel like it's the Bills, right? I mean, there's got to be somebody that breaks through this crazy anomaly that they have been so far this year.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it sustainable? I guess numbers-wise, you would think not, but it's been sustainable for 9 weeks now, right? I mean, that's what they're doing. So, I mean, until they lose, that's what they're going to keep doing. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're covering this team, I mean, you're just looking at it and going, it doesn't matter how you do it, it's what the score is at the end of the day. You know, you could win a game by 2 points on a blocked field goal like they did last week. You could win... Let me give it a game. They won 30-24 the week before that. 6 points against the Buccaneers late in the game. Buccaneers overtime, right? You could win like that. Yeah, they played a lot of games. They went to San Francisco and they won by 10 points, right? I mean, they kind of controlled that game. So they've played some good football. Obviously, they have. They're 9-0. I don't know. It's a good question. Look, and this game's going to come down to little details. That's what this game's going to come down to. It's going to come down to who's going to make a mistake here, who's going to make a critical play there. I love the fact that the Bills lead the NFL in turnover margin this year. I mean, that's a big stat for them. The Bills have gotten a turnover. They've taken the ball away in 12 straight games. You know, I mean, that's a big deal, but they're going to have to do it again. I think you have to take the ball away. You have to not allow the Chiefs to stay on the field. For the Chiefs' part, they're not taking care of the ball as much as they would love to. They actually are -4 in turnover differential this year, partly because Patrick Mahomes has thrown 9 interceptions this year. So, you know, those are things that you have to take advantage of. You have to force them into these little mistakes.
Yeah, and on that interception point too, Sal, Mahomes hasn't thrown one in two games, but going into this game, the Bills are fifth in the league in just interceptions at 11 this year. So, I mean, like for all the stuff we've been talking about, the Bills' offense for this game, the defense, them having Taron Johnson healthy, having Terrell Bernard healthy, that could be huge, and even Von Miller back as well could be huge for him. But, Sal, it is Thursday. What's the schedule looking like for today and then tomorrow as well?
Yeah, so today I'll be down at One Bills Drive here in a little while, and the Bills will have practice at 12:30 p.m. It's our first chance to see Matt Milano on the practice field, guys.
There we go.
He won't play this week. It was made official yesterday in the NFL transaction wire that they opened his 21-day window. So that means they'll have until December 4th to put him on the active roster. So they can carry him on the injured reserve designated to return list through the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night game. There's no rush here to get Matt Milano back. They have this game, a bye week, another game. Then they can put him back after that. And, you know, as long as they do it before the Rams game, and even then they don't have to play him. They could put him on a, you know, game day inactive list, but as long as he's on the 53. But we will see him today. I'm interested to see how that looks out there. We'll find out, obviously, on if Dalton Kincaid, Spencer Brown, Amari Cooper, any of them, all of them practice today. And then we'll hear from players after practice. And then tomorrow, Sean McDermott will be on the Extra Point Show with me at, we're thinking 10:45 a.m. is going to be the time tomorrow. And, you know, we'll get an injury update as far as Sunday is concerned.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, Sal, enjoy practice today, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Lewisine, welcome to the show. All right.
I remember when they signed him from Minnesota's practice squad, was it? Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Not even their practice squad. He was, I think, cut from Minnesota, and they picked him up.
Well, regardless, I remember when that happened, and I was very excited for that because I have a feeling that he's going to play a factor as the season goes on here.
I'm glad you were excited because I just remember Matt Collar talking, I think, with Mike Schopen to me, being like, yeah, not really a good player. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
but no. Hey, again, it's you get a guy into a different system, you work him in for a while. He's been here for 10 weeks now.
Yep.
You never know.
First round talent out of Georgia. I mean, could
have had a fluke. Well, not fluke. Pretty bad injury.
Yeah,
early on in his career. So, you know, hopefully he's kind of over that. But man, looking at what they have at safety, I wonder if he could play a factor in this.
Just as that big neckle kind of caused problems in the middle of the field,
yeah.
And they're going to have to. We talked right at the start of the segment too about Travis Kelce and how many targets he's getting. There's been a huge uptick in just the last like month or so for them. Just want to get his game logs up here real quick. His targets from October 27th against Vegas to their last game against Denver: 12, 16, and 12. I mean, that is an uptick in terms of his targets. And that's where I think it is important them having Terrell Bernard healthy and being...
Well, again, look at last year.
Yeah.
Like in the playoff game, you were down to your fifth and sixth string guys. We
calling AJ Klein off the bench, baby.
Like we've talked about this so many times, but now you have Terrell Bernard and you have a seasoned Dorian Williams.
Yep.
So,
plus Taron's there as well in your nickel corner spot.
And we also saw if Lewisine does play a role, we've seen him kind of practicing as a linebacker.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
that's
that? Right. That yeah. happened, what, like yeah. a month ago or so?
It was right when he got here, or close to it.
It was when Bernard got hurt.
Oh, yes.
That was when they looked like they were tampering with it. So I wonder if maybe that's something that could be, you know, part of the plan. When do you think we would find out about that?
Like the day of.
You think so?
When I said like it'd be really interesting to see Lewisine active on game day, that would be my indication of like, oh, Sal was right about the big nickel. We're going to find out for sure, but it's like 85% sure now.
It'd be interesting, but I wouldn't be against it. I'd be all for it. You know, why not? Try something new. You have, again, we talked about this yesterday. Both of these teams have completely different identities from the last time they played each other.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them a curveball.
Lewisine, big nickel.
I don't know if it'd be that big of a impact, but at the same time, why not?
Change something up.
Again, we've talked so much about how much does this game matter to you? What does it mean? What is the impact? If it doesn't mean anything, then try something. Do it now rather than do it in the playoffs where if you lose, you go home.
Yeah.
Give them something to think about.
Give them something to think about. That's fair.
It's why not?
Well, I am definitely interested in it. Go back to Twitter, Bills by Billion, speaking about, you know, players playing and whatnot. I won't have a vibe until we know who's playing and who's not. If 86 and 18 aren't playing, the game means very little. If both play and we don't win, then I think we have another conversation. If they both play and we win, then the full schedule watch is on for the one seed.
fair assessment.
Yeah.
It's a very fair assessment. Yeah.
I think it also would be really interesting if neither of them played and they won.
I was saying it on the nightcap too, because like I'm in this feeling that if Cooper plays great, Kincaid I'm not expecting to play.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the only kind of outcome that moves me one way or the other is like a total blowout.
Yeah.
If the Bills blow out the Chiefs, it's like you did that with like a limited offense.
With like nothing, yeah.
And if you get blown out, it's like, I know you had a limited offense, but come on, they're not playing that well either. They're hurt. What's going on?
And your defense is healthy.
That might be another one too, where it's like, if neither of those two play and they still go out and win.
That's defense.
You can take, but that I think is big. Because what's the big issue we have with Bills Chiefs? It's not if Josh Allen's going to perform well.
If the defense is going to perform well.
If the defense and coaching is going to perform well.
Right.
And if all of a sudden Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich go out there and Mahomes throws 2-3 picks, because he's thrown a lot of picks this year, and they're fifth in the league with 11 right now, and they're at the highest turnover margin. If they go out there and do that and kind of embarrass them a little bit, and Miller and Rousseau are able to attack the tackles and really get home against Mahomes, that can maybe be indicative of what can happen down the road, potentially in another matchup in January.
Well, and like we were talking about with Sal, with the offensive line of the Chiefs having just kind of being suspect, if you can activate Greg Rousseau and Von Miller and poor use of words. They are active, sorry.
Yes.
If you can have them just get in there and cause problems, not even sack Mahomes, just pressure him. Because there was a highlight I remember watching getting broke down on ESPN, and then I rewatched it a couple times, of the Chiefs game last week against the Broncos. I don't remember if Mahomes threw an interception or if it was just an incompletion or whatever, but there was a snap or a specific play, and it happened numerous times, where Mahomes would get the ball and turn and already be looking at his blind side.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even look downfield. He'd look right to his blind side. And that right there shows you that he, in that moment, did not have trust in that left tackle, whether it be Wanya Morris or the backup. His name escapes me. He was a rookie. Oh, I'm going to butcher the name. Kingsley Suamatia?
That sounds right.
Maybe. I think it looks right. But he just doesn't have trust in those guys.
Yeah, no. I mean, it has been their weak spot, 100%.
And if you can exploit that, which you can with Greg Rousseau and even with Von Miller, and even a guy like A.J. Epinesa, I think, could make an impact. Those three guys are your biggest factors. I know the secondary needs to do its job. I know the linebackers need to do their job. But the defensive line is what is the X factor for you in this game. Get in their head and get to that quarterback, he's thrown picks this year. At one point, he had way more picks than touchdowns.
Yeah, so he's overcome that.
I know that. I know. But hey, there's always a chance for him to go back.
This is terrible, but like this is what I'm seeing is tackles collapse. Rousseau, Miller both coming in. Mahomes just takes off up the middle of the field.
Stop.
Converts
Stop.
Third and five with his legs.
That's what Ed Oliver's for.
And he has not had a good season, really. I know. That's more my fears. That Oliver last year, I had more confidence. Oliver this year, I'm seeing that 52% conversion rate on third downs.
Think about it this way, though. If that starts to happen, just bring in a spy. Who? Why not have Terrell Bernard just stay low?
Kelce, though. You got to cover Kelce.
Louisine.
and you're back to Louisine.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs sort of
I'm not saying Louisine's a great idea.
Bill Belichick.
It is interesting.
Bill Belichick talked about this, talking about the Bills-Chief rivalry.
Right.
And it's
kind of why it popped into my head.
It was the flipped example. It was the Bills and the Chiefs having a spy. And for them, it was initially in the regular season, the spy was engaging with the offensive line. And it was causing problems for the Chiefs where it was, you know, they're calling for flags and holding and stuff like that. But ultimately, Allen was able to escape and make plays. So what did they do in the playoff game? They just dropped him back. They just moved him back and they were fine. And obviously, as we saw in the playoff game, not so great for them. And maybe that's something with the Bills have to do, but ultimately, Mahomes doesn't run nearly as much as Allen. He's not as dangerous as a runner. You need to worry far more about Kelce than you do Mahomes running. And also, it's the regular season. I don't really imagine Mahomes is going to want to run a lot. The Bills, though, Jeremy's brought this stat up a lot this week of just how much more Allen runs in Chiefs games compared to other games. I don't know the Mahomes numbers, but whenever I think of Mahomes running, it's in the playoffs, not really anything else. So we'll see on that.
How do you feel about if you consider this a tune-up game?
Oh, for like both teams?
No, well, it, just kind of like a tune-up game, like preparing for the playoffs, for the most likely chance that you're going to meet in the playoffs.
It'd be one thing if the Bills were like fully out of the one seed conversation and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for both of them, because that's still live, the idea of the bye week, both teams have dealt with major injuries. That is a prize for them.
Yeah.
For both teams to be able to just chill out for a week and watch the rest of the NFL kind of brutalize each other, that I think is massively important. And the Bills specifically, because of the issues they've had at injuries at linebacker last year and other positions, for them to just not have to play that wild card game to get another week of rest, I think could be massive for a potential deep playoff run.
I just look at this as a game of, you know, you're going there and you're going to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily going to help you right now, but it's going to help you in January.
Good. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibes check for the Chiefs game this weekend. As Sal said, we'll get more of an idea when the injury report comes out later today. Right now, we just kind of have the walkthrough. But number of players not practicing, Kincaid, really, among them, the strongest, Spencer Brown, rolled ankle. Has a good chance of playing, or at least they're hopeful he can play. But we hope to get more of a word on the Sabres coming up next. Paul Hamilton, maybe, we're going to see, will join us to get more of a look at the Sabres. Thompson and Lukanen, we know, not playing tonight against St. Louis, which also, I want to remind you, is a radio-only game. You can only hear Dan and Rob right here on WGR. The game will, though, be on television, just an ESPN Plus broadcast. You're listening to Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.